This is about Joe. He's not your average Joe. He's above average. He's a high school graduate. But Joe hasn't done it alone. It takes a lot of support to succeed in school. I'm his aunt, and I took him to school every day. Ay te amo, mijo.
I'm Joe's coach, and I taught him self-discipline.
What's up? I'm his best friend, and we used to do our homework together.
I'm Joe's mom, and I'm always here when he needs to talk. I'm so proud of you, Joe.
I'm Joe's science teacher, and I believed in him.
Joe's succeeding because of all of us. Community counts in educational success.
Created by Youth and Parents with the Borderlands Center for Educational Studies with support from DACC's Creative Media Technology Program.
That was just one of three spots that we're going to hear during today's Images program. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for joining us. The spots are part of a project by the Borderlands Center for Educational Studies. We're going to be talking with a student involved and a parent involved as well. First, though, from the Borderlands Center for Educational Studies, we have with us the Engagement and Research Coordinator, Michelle Valverde. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being with us.
Thank you, Fred.
It's good to have you here. Tell me, to start off with, we'll get to the radio spots, but tell me a little bit, for folks who are not familiar with the center, what you do, what the center is all about.
Well, the Borderlands Center for Educational Studies, we call it BOCES, was created in 1989 by a group of professors in the College of Education at New Mexico State University. The goals revolve around three spheres of influence: knowledge and research, community service, and policy development. For educators that are listening, they may remember the border walking conferences that BOCES sponsored in the late 1990s until about 2004, and they also have the border walking journal out of BOCES. It's been around for a while. I was brought on board as a contractor in 2010, and prior to that, it was basically the professors that did the work.
Okay. And speaking of the work, one of the aspects of your work that we've already heard, and we're going to hear another spot coming up, are some education radio spots. Tell me about this.
Well, currently our primary areas of interest are educational equity, bilingual dual language education, and dropout or pushout prevention. And when I say educational equity, I'm really talking about educational success that is not correlated with variables such as gender, race, ethnicity, income, first language, etc., but basically that all kids are achieving at high levels, and as a result, all kids get to choose whether or not to go to college. That's what we mean when we say educational equity. In relationship to educational equity, we received a grant back at the end of 2010 from the New Mexico Public Ed Department. It was part of the stimulus dollars. You've probably heard about those out in the community. And we had a pilot project in the spring of 2011. We focused on leadership development and community dialogue and engagement. We call it BC squared E squared. It stands for Building Community Capacity for Educational Excellence. And so, Fred, we have like four major objectives: to raise awareness about what equal opportunities to learn are and how critical they are in closing the educational achievement gap. We talk a lot about needing to help engage parents and youth as leaders in all our efforts to improve educational outcomes. We talk a lot about increasing the dialogue community-wide about the importance of equal opportunities to learn. And we're really focused on increasing the ownership of educational improvement community-wide.
Okay, very interesting. And we're going to hear another radio spot coming up. But before we do, Michelle, tell me about your plans for the future.
Well, we're doing a lot of different things. With funding support from the College of Ed, we're involved in a collective impact initiative in education, of course, and you'll be hearing more about this fall. We're doing a pilot project with eighth graders and NMSU role models with Camino Real Middle School this fall. And we're going to be continuing our leadership workshops and moving into a train-the-trainer model. So we're doing lots of different things. So, and we hope to also eventually do some more radio spots. These radio spots came out of our workshops last spring. Some parents and youth got together and they created these spots. It was awesome. You'll hear more about that from Norma and Dalia.
All right. That is a parent and a student that we're going to be hearing from coming up on Images. This is Images, and I'm Fred Martino. And right now, we're going to be hearing another one of these wonderful radio spots that help educate the community about these very important issues. Michelle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Fred.
Hey, are you busting watermelons?
No. Now that was a watermelon busting. We're busting out facts about the educational achievement gap in New Mexico and what our community can do about it. The fact is, the achievement gap is really a gap in opportunities to learn.
What do you mean by opportunities to learn?
Well, challenging, engaging, and relevant curriculum, equitable and adequate funding, high expectations, great teachers and leadership, fair and non-punitive assessments. These elements help create equal opportunities to learn.
Wow, it's going to take more than just one or two people to close that gap.
Yes, it is. It's going to take the whole community. Teachers, students, administrators, families, and businesses to close a gap. No one can do it alone.
Created by Youth and Parents with the Borderland Center for Educational Studies with support from DACC's Creative Media Technology Program.
Another one of those wonderful radio spots, and we're actually going to have the opportunity now to talk with one of the students who was involved in the production, Dalia Macias. She is a student at Arrowhead Park Early College High School. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us. Tell me about putting together these radio spots. I get excited when we get to talk about how media is used in education. I think it's fantastic.
I do too. Well, we met for a couple of times, I would say like three or four times, just discussing how we were going to do it, editing out parts, putting parts in and stuff, discussing who was going to do what. And then eventually we went to the East Mesa Doniana Community Branch, and we recorded some spots there. It was me, Nico, and Alyssa that we did. That was one spot. And it took about 30 minutes, but it was a lot of fun.
I bet. Do you think using media, whether that be video, audio, something on the internet, a website, really engages young people in education?
I think it does, especially because nowadays kids are so much more into the internet. I mean, you don't see kids running around playing on the playground anymore. You just see them with like video games and stuff like that. So I think using stuff like Facebook, Twitter, and all that, radio spots, just using the internet to help educate kids on education.
Well, I have something else to ask you. Because you're attending the Early College High School, you're the first student I've had a chance to interview who attends this school. There's a lot of excitement around it because you get to earn college credit while you're in high school. So yeah. You graduate with a high school degree, but also an associate's degree. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Now tell me about what you think about the school and what the experience has been like for you.
The experience, it's going by really fast. I was just talking to my mom the other day and I was like, wow, you know, high school's gone by so fast, but at the same time, it's been a lot of work. It's not easy. I mean, I remember my freshman year, we had already had college classes, and those ones were probably the easiest college classes compared to like what I'm taking now. Like this year, I'm already a junior, so I'm taking, a majority of my classes are at the East Mesa branch. So what kids do, you know, our school's more focused on individual students because there's not as many students there. So they focus on one student, they help you choose your career path, and from there they help you take classes according to your goals and help you get there faster.
This is a huge decision for someone to make at a young age, that they're going to go to a high school where they're going to be taking college classes. And as you've just told us, you actually take some of these classes in the community college, so you're in a different building as well. Tell me how you made this choice.
Well, I got a flyer in the mail, and I was just looking at it and stuff, and my mom was like, hey, look, you know, you can get college credit too. And I've always been more about like getting places faster. I'm not a patient person, so that's how I made my decision. It was for kids that go there, it's a very mature decision to make because you're giving up a lot. I had to give up seeing my friends all the time. it's hard, but at the same time, I know in the end it's going to be worth it.
And let's get to that. What are your plans for the future?
Well, currently I'm working on I want to be a corporate attorney, so I'm going for a business degree and a degree in criminal justice. So just to mix that up and make it a corporate law degree.
Okay. So your associate's degree will be in?
Corporate law.
In corporate law. Yes. Wow. So that's already getting you ready for that next step of your educational journey then.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Well, in addition to all the exciting things that you're doing in terms of these radio spots and at Arrowhead Park Early College High School, you were also involved in a workshop that we're going to be talking about a little bit more with a parent participant called Building Community Capacity for Educational Excellence. A lot of words there. Tell me about that.
Well, my principal is the one that brought it up to me just because she knows that I like to get involved in the community and stuff. And she also thought it'd be a great thing to put on my college resume. So she looked at it and she told me if I wanted to be involved in it. And from there, I emailed Michelle and stuff and I got involved with that. And then it kind of built it on from there. It was kind of an eye opener, actually, the things that we were looking at. And it wasn't, I know people probably think it's not. It's boring, but it was actually a lot of fun.
What did you take away from in a nutshell from going through that workshop?
There was a lot of key points. I think that one of the major ones is that race, ethnicity, gender, you know, your income background, it has nothing to do with you being able to learn. It's really about hard work and focus. And I think if kids are able to see that, then it's their dreams become more of a reality for them. I know a lot of kids are scared to dream just because they're afraid of failing or afraid of not being able to get to where they want to go. And seeing this, it's going to be an eye-opener.
Okay. Thalia Macias, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Fran.
What, I have tattoos, so I'm not school material? I will meet your high expectations.
Some people think because I wear baggy pants, I'm lazy. I just want school to be interesting.
Having a nose ring doesn't mean I don't care about academics. I want to learn.
Just because my first language isn't English, some people think I'm not intelligent. My language is an important part of my culture.
Appearances and accents have nothing to do with learning potential.
Challenge me.
Engage me.
Make school relevant to my life, my language, and my culture.
Expect me to succeed, and I will.
Created by Youth and Parents with the Borderlands Center for Educational Studies with support from DACC's Creative Media Technology Program.
And that was our third and final spot from the Borderlands Center for Educational Studies. Great to hear those radio spots and kids getting involved in media as part of education. It's such an exciting thing to hear. We also should point out that we're talking today about parents getting involved, too. And I have a parent with me right now, Norma Arrieta. She is a parent participant in the workshop that we mentioned earlier, Building Community Capacity for Educational Excellence, a workshop in our community. And Norma, you have an acronym for that because that's a lot of words.
Yeah, I usually just use BC2E2.
Okay. That works. So tell me your thoughts about this workshop and being a parent involved with students and some of the educational professionals who've been involved in working together on these various issues.
Okay. Well, as a parent, I have a 7th grader and a 10th grader. I had to think about it for a second since a new school year started. But and since they've been in school, I've always wanted to be as involved as I can in their education. I try to be active. But for the last few years, I was really looking for a group that focused on local educational issues. And then when you find those kinds of groups, you get a little intimidated by the educational professionals that are involved. It's hard to bring up subjects. It's hard to bring up things that you feel are important. So I really, really like the workshops because they really, I feel like as a parent, they did provide me with the tools and the confidence that I needed to discuss important issues. Well, that were important to me, important issues with other school administrators and elected officials. The workshops really turned out to be a unique opportunity to learn and work together with other parents, students, community members, teachers, administrators, NMSU professors and elected officials regarding positive and negative issues impacting our children and the students attending our local school districts.
All right.
Yeah.
So you really think this kind of a workshop really is making an impact in the community?
Oh, definitely. The BC2E2 workshops as a whole, they were a very meaningful experience. This project in particular, because we had three sets of parents participating. We had English monolingual parents, Spanish monolingual, and bilingual parents participating and collaborating for about 5 months. And there was 26 groups of parents. So it was a very unique and incredible experience. These workshops, the coordinators made it possible for us to collaborate for this amount of time with such a diverse group by providing Spanish translation at every meeting, providing all of the materials in both English and Spanish, providing child literacy activities for the children to do so that parents could go and attend and listen and be attentive while their children were doing other activities in the other room. And they provided stipends to the parents to compensate them for their gas and their time that they were using at these workshops. So it was incredible. We, out of the 26 parents, we had 100% complete the program.
And that is so important to get parents involved, isn't it, to help them encourage their children in terms of pursuing education and sticking with their studies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it helped show, I think it just raised that awareness of all of the gaps in the equal opportunities to learn and the gaps that there are in education. And like I said, provided with the parents with the confidence and the tools that they needed to speak first, you know, to those elected officials and community members, because they didn't just throw you in there. You know, we talked about it in workshops. We talked about different issues. We collaborated, and then they brought in community members to dialogue with. So that was nice.
All right. Norma Arrieta, she is a parent participant in building community capacity for educational excellence. Norma, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Fred.